Well, good morning. Welcome to a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. Praise God for each day of life that He provides for us on this earth and that we can live in the security of everlasting life each and every day. And as we continue our journey through Advent season, this Sunday focused on joy, and we're going to zoom in on the epistle reading that is on patience. And so the theme today is joyful patience. And we'll be looking at that in a little bit. But a special welcome to all of our visitors that are with us today. And we would invite you to, along with all of our members, to sign in on the fellowship pad. It's that pad of paper at the far left end of each pew in front of you. And please let us know if you so desire that you're here worshiping with us today. And if you'd like us to follow up with you in any way, we will certainly do that as well. So a lot of stuff going on here at Trinity coming up. And Miss Angela, we'll have you share first.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just going to make another announcement that the Sunday School Christmas program from the kids will be presented today at 10:30 during the regular second service. The kids have been working really hard and are excited to share the good news about Jesus. So if you can stick around for that, that would be great. Also, thank you once again for everyone that has donated items to our Angel Tree. The Angel Tree benefited newly arrived refugees through the Lutheran Social Services Refugee Center here in town. And we also had the Big Bin to collect coats, gloves, and hats for the homeless shelter downtown. If you were so desiring to donate to that too, thank you so much. If you had wanted to donate to those and didn't bring it today, I'm going to take them either on Wednesday or Thursday, so just let me know, hey, mine isn't there yet, but it's coming, just so I don't end up leaving and taking over there without it. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Angela. And you. Mr. Dan Jesvanek.
Yes, again, anybody that, if you're tired of seeing me, I'm sorry. I need to get some other elders that would be here and I wouldn't have to. But anyway, one announcement, of course, is December 29th. There is going to be a special voters meeting, and it's going to be between services on Sunday. And that will be to ask for a final vote for the budget that is being submitted to Lutheran Church Extension Fund to build out the upstairs to meet code for the fire department. And those issues will all be discussed between quickly, and they were discussed at the last voters meeting. And then this is a special voters meeting being announced appropriately due to the Constitution to let all the folks know, and it's published in the bulletins and so forth. But that's the 29th between services. And that's where we'll finalize our application to Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Along that line, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, to redo our note, the basic charge to do that is $4,000. We're short about 30 new accounts in order to reduce that to $1,000. So we come up 30 new accounts, why that would drop down that to $1,000 closing fee. That's kind of important. We're going to try to achieve that in the next 2 weeks. Right now, we've got Terry and Pat Arthur from Brighton. Terry being with LCEF, and myself and them, we're going to be out here in between services to explain some of the things going on with LCEF. The nice thing is they have a nice program for adults. It's just a minimum of $100 to open an account. And you can do it as a joint account. If you do it as two individual accounts, your spouse and yourself, if you have a spouse, why, that's two accounts. And what's really nice is they have a children's program. It's got some really nice benefits for the age one day till 18 years old, and three different programs for those three steps of age groups. And it's a $25 minimum charge. So we're just loving the Coonsey family if they haven't already done it. We tend to have two adults and five children there. Would be seven new accounts, and we're only looking for 30. But potentially, if you don't have an account with LCEF, they give you a very, very fair interest rate on your money, and you can go anywhere from $100 to sky's the limit if you want to move some funds over to that. But we just need 30 accounts in the next couple of weeks, and we'll be out there after the first service to help anybody with the applications, even sit down and help you fill them out if you'd like. So that's all I've got. That's enough.
Well, thank you, Dan, and you can keep the mic, yeah. Well, we come here to worship this morning, and all of the service will be presented on the screen as usual, and we begin with the opening. Yeah. The greatest joy is knowing God's love for us, knowing that that love is unconditional, unchanging, and everlasting. And through that love that we are blessed to be called children of God. And so we gather in the name of the one true living Almighty God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always. The dead are raised up.
And the Lord hath good news preached to them.
The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad.
The desert shall rejoice and blossoms like crocus.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God, all I have my being.
Isaiah wrote that the coming of the Messiah would mean change as great as having waters break forth in the wilderness. Help us value the water of our baptism and the Word of God. Give us strength and faith in our ongoing troubles. When nothing appears to change and our Lord's return seems too far in the distant future, James urges, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Help us to grow in patience, especially in times of disappointment, when we would have preferred our Lord to have returned yesterday. When our Lord returns, although he will come with vengeance to judge those who have opposed him, Isaiah promises He will come and save you. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins of thought, word, and deed. And we just take a moment in silence for personal reflection and confession. Through his entire life, from birth through death and on to the resurrection, Christ Jesus paid for all your sins when he came so long ago. When he comes through word and sacrament today, it is to assure you that we are at peace with God, and when he returns, it will be to lead us to heaven. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes. Save your promise long.
We continue now with the Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
O Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
O Lord, wisdom from on high, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
O Lord, King of David, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Isaiah wrote, "A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of the holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way." Isaiah wrote, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing." And let us pray. O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one can close. You close and no one can open. Come and rescue the prisoners who are in the darkness and the shadow of death. And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have freed us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into your kingdom of light. Rule our hearts and minds that we rejoice in you always. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we'll continue now with our scripture readings today. And Mr. Ken Klaber will be sharing those with us.
The Old Testament lesson for this third Sunday of Advent is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, beginning at verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, "Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of the jackals, where they lay down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and the sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from James chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brother, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. And I would invite you now to stand for the reading of our Holy Gospel for today, and as also as we speak the words of the verse from Matthew chapter 11. Alleluia! Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Alleluia! Our Holy Gospel for this third Sunday in Advent comes to us from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Beginning at verse 2. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
This time then, we'll make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated now as we continue with our children's message for today. So I'd invite the young people to come forward. Mrs. Erickson has a wonderful message for you.
Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to see you guys here today at church. I'm so glad you're here with me today in God's house. I have something I'm sure you can probably guess what it is. Hattie. What is this, Hattie? It's a present. Do you think it's a birthday present or a Christmas present? Yeah, it has some Christmas wrapping, so a Christmas present. Are you guys getting a little bit excited about Christmas presents? Yeah. Have you already been telling your mom and dad what you want for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yes? Oh, Hannah, that was really fast. What's on your mind? What have you told your mom and dad you want for Christmas?
I told my uncle Matt what I want for Christmas.
A Barbie set. Anybody else?
A Barbie set.
You wanted a Barbie set too? Okay. Oh, like an art easel? Okay. See? You don't know, Zeke? Have you thought of anything? Still thinking? Any more? Legos? Okay. Some paints and drawing things? Maybe. Okay, Lego friends. We need books. Yeah. There are all kinds of fun things we might be thinking about, right?
And I already know what I'm going to
do. You already know? Oh, wow. That's neat. So we hear, in a way, about gifts today in our gospel lesson. We are learning and hearing about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a relative, kind of a cousin of Jesus. Remember, his mother and father were Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were relatives of Mary. And John the Baptist was the one who was sent before Jesus to tell everybody about Jesus, right? The messenger that says, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. He will forgive your sins, repent of your sins, Jesus is coming. Now, John liked to tell everybody about Jesus, everybody about God and God's laws too. And it ended up getting him in trouble in this situation. He told King Herod that some of the things King Herod was doing was wrong, because King Herod, we've kind of heard about him in other stories, right? He kind of thought that he was a pretty cool guy, and he decided, I'm the king, I can do whatever I want. And he saw his brother's wife, Herodias, and he said, I like her, I want her to be my wife now. And Herodias said, okay. And John the Baptist said, no, that's not okay, that was your brother's wife. And Herod and Herodias said, you know what, we are the king and queen and we can do whatever we want, so John, you are going to jail. And they put him in jail. And John might have gotten a little anxious. He still believed in God, but maybe he was worried about what was going to happen. And, you know, did I have this right? I've been telling everybody about Jesus, but it just got me put in jail. So he sent word to Jesus, are you the one that's supposed to be coming here for us? Do you guys hear what Jesus said to him? Jesus sent back a message. Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus doesn't have to tell John, yes, I am the Savior, because he can point to all the things that God has been doing. These are gifts, right? If you were blind and Jesus made you see, that would be one of the best presents for you ever, right? If you couldn't hear and Jesus made you hear again. If you had leprosy, remember we talked about that, where it's that disease where you have really bad rashes and owies all over your skin and Jesus made you better, that would be an amazing gift, right? Even better than Legos or Barbies, right? And we also know the whole story, don't we? An even bigger gift that came to us through Jesus. Right? What is our sins taken away on the cross. We are so excited about Christmas and being with our families and all the things we do to celebrate. And yes, even the presents we're going to get, that's a fun part. But we are remembering and celebrating that Jesus came as a little baby. And he didn't stay that baby. He grew up and he was a man who did not sin. We sin all the time, right? We sin all the time, so God needed to send us a Savior. And Jesus, when he grew up, he died on that cross. And he rose again to show that he was more powerful than sin, death, and the devil, right? And he was alive on Easter, and we know that we are going to heaven. That is even a bigger gift, too. And we want to tell everybody that good news, because John the Baptist's job was spreading the good news about Jesus, and that can be our job, too, spreading this best news about Jesus. So I am so excited that you guys get to do that later in your Christmas program. And I want you to remember to go out all this week and all the time and tell people about Jesus, your Savior, and the best gift that God ever gave you. So can we fold our hands? We're going to pray. Can we pray and then you can tell me? Would that be okay? Pray. You pray after me. Heavenly Father, we are so sorry that we are sinful and haven't kept your law. Thank you for sending Jesus, the best gift ever. Help us be like John the Baptist and tell everybody everywhere the good news about the Savior. We love you, Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Thank you.
And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this Advent season, as we look with anticipation and preparation for the celebration of our Lord's birth, but as the prophets of old, as we look beyond the historical event of Jesus' first coming, we look forward to that time when the Lord's going to return in all of his glory and gather all of his church together. You find that hard to be patient in the journey sometimes? Well, this morning, I'd like us to focus on patience, and I'd like to read James 5 again, verses 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And here ends this reading from James. But be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Well, when you hear the word patience, what comes to your mind? You know, the definition of patience, one definition I pulled out of a dictionary is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Well, those words are easy to say, right? but not so easy to live out in our lives, and I have failed horribly at this many times, so I shouldn't really be up here preaching. But hey, we're all sinners, right? And so we have to be careful with a lack of patience. And certainly it's evident in the culture that you and I are living in today. And one place I see it every day is when I'm driving, and you probably do too, but there's been quite a shift, and you just see the impatience playing out. Last Friday evening, Lindy and I were out on our date night. We're stopped at a stoplight where you could go right, and there's two cars ahead of us, and the car could have made a right turn on right because there's nobody coming, and there's a pickup behind us, and the car didn't go. So guess what the pickup behind us does? Lays on the horn. And I wanted to just get out and go talk to the guy. You know, I mean, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to push two cars ahead of me out of the way so you can go? I mean, there's not a whole lot that I can do here. So I was getting a little impatient. But it can fire up so quickly in the culture in which we live, without getting angry or upset. And boy, switches can go off immediately now of being upset and anger over virtually nothing. And that's just being out there driving a car, everyday life event. But we live in a fast-paced world, don't we? And you know, delay really isn't even an option anymore. Think of Amazon, for instance, and they're playing off of this very well. Used to be, you know, a second-day delivery. Well, now they're trying to get it down to day of delivery. I wonder how much faster they can go at this. You call on the phone, and it's kind of like Jimmy John's. The guy's already there at your door. And it's like that's what our culture is demanding today. And if it's not that quick and fast, then I'm going to become angry. Because this is just not permissible for something to be delayed or late. Oh, impatience can become very ugly. And certainly can lead to hatred, to disrespect, to division, to rage, to stress. Pretty timely, I would say, wouldn't you, that the Almighty God comes to us through James and simply says, "Be patient, brothers." And then I love the illustrations that are given by the Lord through James. And the first one is to be patient like the farmer. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. And, you know, I grew up in that world, and probably a number of people here in the sanctuary this morning did as well. But growing up on a wheat farm, winter wheat, talk about patience. You plant the seed in the soil in September, and then you wait through all of the winter into the next spring, into the next early summer before the harvest comes. And boy, there's a lot of things that can go wrong within that time frame, and that's your income out there in the fields. And it's kind of ironic if it's dry, then you may not have a crop at all, or it's going to be very little. And if you get abundant moisture, it's like, great, this is going to be awesome. But then when you have a lot of moisture, you also have hail or the threat of it. And so you can have a bumper crop out there one day, and the next day it's mowed down by a hailstorm. I admired my dad and his patience, and I didn't understand the monetary part when I was young. Shouldn't surprise us that the Lord uses that as an analogy. All of those months just waiting to be patient. And then the Lord says through James, take the prophets. How about Isaiah? Do you think his journey was an easy one? Oh my gosh. You know, tradition holds that Isaiah was executed for being a prophet. They put him in a hollowed out log, and then they sawed the log in half, including his body. What a horrible way to die. And here he is a prophet of the Lord, one who is steadfast, one who is faithful. And you think, well, where's the fairness in that? But it's the reality of the world that we live in that rebels for the most part against God. Or you think of the prophet Jeremiah. Can you imagine as you follow Jeremiah's journey? And it's a prosperous time, kind of like in the United States of America. And financially prosperous, it's going very well for most people economically. And yet here's the prophet Jeremiah warning, this is all going to change because you've turned away from God. And if you don't turn back to God, you're going to lose all of this. In fact, you're even going to go into exile. And of course, the people of the land, including the leaders who claimed that they were following God, they were on Jeremiah's case continually. In fact, remember Jeremiah came to one of the kings with the scroll that God inspired him to write. King looks at it, takes the scroll, begins to tear it apart in little pieces and throw it into the fire and says, you know, that's what I think of your scroll, Jeremiah. Can you imagine the patience? I mean, this went on for years. And yet Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the other prophets, they were saint and sinner, but they remained steadfast. They remained patient. And if that isn't enough, what about God Himself? Have you ever thought how God looks upon this earth from time to time? You know, from eternity past, think about it, God knew that we would fall into sin. From eternity past, God knew that the majority of the world would reject Him, mock Him, deny Him. And yet, God created us anyway. And then after creating us, our first parents, Adam and Eve, they fall into sin. And all the generations to follow, right up to you and me today, we continue to contribute to that sin. And think about that for God's, from His perspective, that He patiently deals with this. And of course, it goes to the extreme with God's only Son, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, as Jesus also was denied, rejected, mocked, and then finally crucified. And Jesus steadfastly endured all of that. And even as they were nailing Jesus to the cross, you know, what a time to lash out in anger and impatience. And yet, what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The very Son of God dies on that cross. But we know death could not hold Him, and He rose victoriously from the grave. And we know that He lives, and in living, we know that He offers the gift and the security of everlasting life. Did you catch it at the beginning of this? Be patient, therefore, brothers. You know, in Scripture, when the term brothers is used, by the way, this includes the ladies in the room, it's children, it's a reference to the church. It's the body of Christ, those who acknowledge, believe, and trust Jesus Christ to be exclusively the Savior of the world. It is the body of believers, and there is grace right there in that announcement in these words. Be patient, therefore, brothers. God acknowledging to you and me that we are His children. God acknowledging to us that He understands the struggles and the trials that we go through, and certainly the difficulty in trying to live a life in a patient way. It's not easy. In fact, did you hear it? Verse 8, you also be patient, establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. Well, what does that mean? In other translations, it says stand firm. But as you put this together, It's really allowing God into our lives, allowing God into our hearts. In other words, being in the Word of God, receiving His supper when that's offered here at the table on a regular basis. Through these means of grace, as the Lord continues to feed and nurture our souls, our hearts become firmly established in the Lord and firmly prepared, by the way, for when the Lord indeed does return. And so we are blessed to live in the history of this event, aren't we? This whole event, talk about the gospel event presented in front of us from the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ to His death on the cross, to His resurrection, to His ascension into heaven. It's all historical. We are blessed to live in this time that we can look back and say, yeah, all of these incredible events happened, and look at God's patience in being steadfast Himself despite people slaughtering His prophets, burning His word in the fire, rejecting and rebelling against Him through sin, and yet, historically, the Lord has accomplished this work of salvation. And today has not changed. He offers the blessings of the victory won to the world. And through faith, it personally becomes our own. And we know that. We believe that. We live in that. And there's one last major event to happen, isn't there? And that's when the Lord returns. And you know what? We're all going to be there. The unbelievers will be there because everyone is going to rise from the dead, the bodies. And in body and soul, we're all going to stand before Jesus. That day is coming. Can you imagine seeing Jesus as Peter, James, and John did on the Mount of Transfiguration? And here Jesus is in the flesh in all of His glory and splendor, and He's standing in our presence? That's our future. That's God's promise. Could be this afternoon, might be next year, maybe 1,000 years from now. Only God knows when that event will occur. But it will happen. Just like the harvest will come in. There, sometimes that can be a little iffy, I guess. But I can't remember a year growing up on the farm that we didn't get a harvest. But what we do know is the Lord is coming. And in the meantime, the Lord calls upon us to be patient. Patient knowing God's compassionate and merciful heart. Isn't it wonderful that we can gather and worship as we do here and begin with confession and absolution? We can come before God and we don't have to try and hide our sin. We couldn't anyway, but knowing God's compassion and mercy and His patience with us, that we can just lay it all before the Lord. And what does God say to us? I forgive you. You're already forgiven. This is our life as God's precious children. And so here we are. And the question is, though, how then we approach life? Are we the guy in the pickup behind me laying on the horn because nobody's moving fast enough? Do you know what an influence, especially in the times in which you and I are living? Just simply living in joyful patience. And by the way, joy is unlike happiness. You know, happiness is based on everyday circumstances. And boy, one day we can be just at the top of our game. Life is going great, and it seems like a perfect day, and then we get a phone call. And man, it can change instantly. And happiness goes out the window immediately. Right? But that's not joy. Because joy is happiness that is centered and based in not worldly events and things, but in God's promises and blessings. And so we can have the absolute worst of days we could ever imagine living on the face of this earth, and yet we live in the reality of what God has accomplished for us and consider the greatness of His love to do this in the first place, and it's never going to change. That phone call's not going to come. That sudden change isn't going to happen. God's not going to say, "Oh, I changed my mind." But we can stand on solid ground every day in the reality that God is merciful and He is compassionate. And think how empowering that is for us. When we're going through the worst of times as Christians and people still see that joy within us, can't have a greater testimony than that one. It even leads people to ask, how can you be like this in light of what's going on? Well, in closing, as we think about that definition again of patience, the capacity to accept or tolerate, delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Another driving story. Because they happen every day now. So I'm on 10th Street, headed west, west of 56th Avenue, headed towards 71st Avenue. Is it 59th? Yeah, I guess it's 59th, isn't it? Going down that hill, and there's a car going about 25 because they're confused. Apparently, they're kind of looking where they're going to turn. So I look in my mirror. There's a car way back here in the left lane. I pull out in the left lane. And this guy just comes flying up on me. He's got his brights going on and off. I don't know what it is, but that one really gets to me. That one could get the pastor into road rage. And I almost was going there, and I thought, don't go there. And you know what? So we're going, he's right on me, and then I go in the right lane, and wouldn't you know, he goes in the right lane. And we go all the way to the Windsor exit this way. But on the way, we get to a light, and he's parked beside me. And I thought, you know, I could really be angry, which that part's kind of coming up, or I could pray. And you know what? I began to pray, and it totally changed the way I was looking at that individual. I thought, who knows what's going on in his life? It could be something really horrifying, and he's just in an emotional state right now, and he's usually not that way. And through prayer and patience with that, it totally changes our perspective on another human being, no matter what they're doing. And I'm not putting myself on a pedestal, because believe me, I've failed at that many times in terms of being patient. But that was one time where God really caught my heart and got me in the place where I needed to be. Think how empowering that is. When God's people are out there, even on the roadways, that incident could have turned into a road rage event immediately. Somebody could have maybe even been killed in that event. But if God's people are living the patience joyfully, and seeing the huge picture, and then praying that others that we may think are bringing harm to us, praying for them, that they too would know Jesus, totally changes the situation. And as I look at the membership here this morning in worship, as I look at all of the people gathered here, we're quite a few folks here this morning. Imagine being out in the community during the week, and we are. Just simply carrying that joyful patience and how many events that can diffuse in the heat of anger and rage that is out there today. But most of all, to know we're here to serve. And one day the Lord's going to return. And what a joy when we see Him. and when we're with our loved ones who have gone before us for eternity. In his name, we give thanks and praise. And dear Lord, help us to live in that compassion and mercy as you show it to us, that we may extend it to others. In your precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we continue our worship this morning as we're blessed to have Ashley Rohr, who's going to share a special number with us, and just a beautiful hymn, Breath from Heaven.
Traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your Son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be with me now, be with me now. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, do you wonder as you watch my face, if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holy. breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of heaven.
And we continue our worship this morning with the offering. And we stand. And let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, we thank you for your compassion and your mercy, Lord. Lord, we don't deserve to live under your blessings and the security of everlasting life. We deserve only condemnation and to be separated from you for eternity. But Lord, through your patience, through your love, you chose to save us. in the most incredible way, Emmanuel, God with us. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for giving us your only begotten Son, Jesus. And dear Jesus, you, the very Son of God, we thank you for your willingness, you, God, choosing to become man, and that alone bringing great suffering upon you as you came upon this earth and dwelt here in the flesh. But Jesus, you fulfilled the law that we could never fulfill. And then you made the journey to the cross, and you paid the punishment for all of our failure. And you gave us the precious gift of your own life as you died in our place as our substitute. But Lord, we rejoice that death could not hold you, that you rose victoriously from the grave, and that you live, and not only live, but you reign over the universe for the well-being of your brothers and sisters, your family, your children, including us. And dear Holy Spirit, that made possible by the gift of faith. O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we then continue as we live out our days and years upon this earth, focused upon you and doing the work that you entrust us to do. Most of all, to simply by our actions, our demeanor, the way we approach life, that others can see the light of your love within us and working through us. And Lord, we pray that that would change the lives of others, that they too would come to know the joy of salvation. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, speaking of patience, there are a number of people listed in the prayer section of our bulletin today who go through severe physical trials in their lives, and for some, it has been ongoing for months, if not years. Lord, you know each one of these, your precious children, and Lord, we pray for them and many others that are unknown to us, but all are known to you, that you would continue to intervene in their lives, Lord, and give them patience, and most of all, fill them with joy and hope and peace. And Lord, we know you are the God of miracles. We know you could speak the word, and these people could instantly be healed from the battles that they currently go through. Lord, we pray your miracles of healing, but we pray your will be done upon all of these. And Lord, to this list, we also add an infant nephew of Jessica Anderson, who was born with lung problems, is in ICU in Tampa, Florida. Lord, we give you many words of thanksgiving and praise for Cody, a little three-year-old battling cancer and had a great week of chemo. And Lord, goes back this coming week, as you well know, for stem cell collection. Lord, we marvel at just the incredible types of work that you accomplish today, the miracles before our very eyes. And we just pray, Lord, that you will oversee and protect Cody. And Lord, we pray for Marion Fumick, who is in rehab, for Verlene White, a friend of Pastor Hesse, who is just going through extreme pain at this time, and for Brian Adams, another friend of Pastor Hesse's, who is in the hospital with complications from diabetes. Lord, there are so many, but you know each and every one of them, and you know us. And Lord, again, we pray your miracles of healing, but especially that all these, as well as all of us, would know your presence among us and your love for us. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray for those who grieve, and we certainly continue to hold up to you Mike and Mindy as they grieve the loss of their daughter Ashley, suddenly killed in a car accident. Lord, be with this couple, be with all of this family, be with Ashley's son, Sean, 12 years old, nearly 13, and Lord, surround them with your love and give them that encouragement that only you can provide, and most of all, the certainty of the reality of the victory of life, even as we see death right in front of our faces. Lord, you are the resurrection and the life, and may we hold on to the victory you have won. And may we look forward to the day when all of your church will be together. We'll never be separated like this again. We will dwell together with you for eternity. Lord, may that give those who grieve patience and hope and perseverance. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we continue to hold up all of our missionaries before you, and today the Garms family gospel singers as they travel throughout the Midwest doing their Christmas series and Lord, just sharing the gospel in song. We thank you for the power of music and the power of your word working through music. And bless this family in the great ministry that they continue to be blessed to serve in. And Lord, we celebrate with Gary and Linda Clipp as they celebrate another year of life together as one in their marriage and as they celebrate the birthdays of their grandchildren. Lord, what a wonderful thing to just recognize that all good things come from you and to acknowledge you for them. And we thank you for the Clipp family and just the blessings you bestow upon them and through them to us. O Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we pray your blessings upon the children's program. We hope everyone here can stay for our late service. And as we hear these small children, and Lord, you hold them up and remind us of the faith, what faith really looks like. It's the faith of a child. And Lord, we thank you for these little ones that they can stand before us this morning and present your gospel in the program that they share with us. Lord, we pray your blessings upon them and upon all who gather for this event. And Lord, in the ministry here also, we hold up the voters meeting and our school and just all the dynamics of what we're dealing with the fire codes right now. Lord, you have an incredible plan in all of this, and it's just exciting to see it unfold. Give us patience as we continue to work through this process. We ask it all in your precious name, Jesus, as we ask your will to be done and honored to be your children, your family. We are blessed to know the prayer you have taught us and privileged to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father who created us, the Son who saved us and shall return to welcome us home, and the Holy Spirit who creates and nourishes the faith that Jesus is the Lord, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.